Now entering Nerdist.com. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Hour two.
Hour two.
And we're already out of topics.
I know it. I have... Oh, I was hoping that our comic of the week would email me. And she has not. It's going to be a woman, you guys. I'm Jackie Cation.
Laurie Kilmartin.
And you're Laurie Kilmartin. And this is the Jackie and Laurie Show. Mm-hmm. That's 2 seconds of something. There's Kyle Clark sitting over there.
A couple people came to the Boston show that came up to me afterwards and said they were fans of the show.
Fans of the show?
Yeah,
oh, that's
that was
neat.
Cool.
That is neat. So I'm sitting around and with Maria and Scott, her husband, and mm-hmm. Scott takes, he's been dabbling in stand-up. You know, he likes to do open mics, and he's a fine artist, right? He's a mm-hmm. painter and stuff. So, but he's also been taking a lot of improv classes, and he was talking about taking this improv class where the teacher was just out of their mind. Just kept saying how they had to undo everything they might have learned if they had ever been anywhere else. And then they were like, tell a story then just everyone has to tell a little bit about yours. Oh, I know. There was
a
question.
Is it a famed school?
It's not. It's a one-off.
Oh.
Like I think the teacher was saying something like, if you were at Iowa West or if you were at UCB or if you were at the Groundlings, we're going to have to start over because that's not how I do it. And you're like, are you starting a cult, sir and or madam? And but the question was, as the teacher went around the room, said, tell us something that you love and something that you're afraid of that makes you afraid. And so Scott said something like, well, I'm afraid to speak publicly, so that's why I'm taking this class. And I love art and painting and doing that kind of thing. The next person told something and burst into tears. And the teacher was like, that's what I'm looking for.
Oh, no.
That's
at an improv class.
At an improv comedy class.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, two more people told some sad sack story that made him cry. And I don't know that Scott will be going back to that class.
Are there improv drama classes?
Oh, I wonder. There should be.
There should be.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just called acting classes. I remember.
Or maybe they're called bad improv comedy classes.
Maybe they are. Maybe they are. Have you ever taken acting classes?
I have. I took classes with Joanna Bexson. She was like this sort of, all the comics went to her.
Okay, up in
New York City. In New York City. Yeah, like Ray Romano went to her. Everyone. Greg Giraldo went to her. So I took a little bit with her. It was like sitcom acting, targeted sitcom acting.
Okay.
And it led to me not ever being on a sitcom.
Interesting. So it was success. If that was its goal.
And then I studied with Sally Johnson. And then she had one of her teachers went off on his own, Guido Venatucci.
Okay.
And it was fun. It was like real scene work. And it was a lot of improv, actually, where he would, you know, you just kind of break down. But I really enjoyed it. My boyfriend at the time took it, the Russian guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he took acting classes. It was fun. Yeah. I think it made me a better comic. And that and David Feldman telling me to, like, lower my voice a little bit.
He said
not be as loud. Oh, yeah, because I was shouting into the mic. And I do that now. But I sometimes have to employ a shouting just because
people,
the audience.
You know what? Sometimes comics shout. Augie Smith did a set on last Thursday. I did the Big Money show, and he was doing some yelling. He came up to me afterwards because he's working on it. It made me think of Carlin's 5 words or 8 words or whatever.
Yeah.
The words you can't say, because Augie's working on this bit about how people say they have to use some words that are no longer usable. And so he's like, I want to do a bit about words that I've never used in stand-up, but I've met comics who say, if I don't say this word in the joke, it doesn't work. Sort of like there are some jokes where if you don't swear, They don't hit as hard.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
But he's talking about like racism and sexism, and he's talking about like gays and
yeah,
like old medical terms that are being phased out.
Right.
And so cryptically mean, like, talking around. Should
retarded?
I write down? Yeah, that's the word I'm talking about. Yes. Which is a real word and it's still used
medically. I know,
medically.
And it was supposed to be, I don't know if I heard this on NPR, but it was a softer version of moron, I think, where
yeah, like it literally has just been,
they keep trying to like change it, just
developmentally
use this word
disabled.
Instead. This isn't as bad.
Right.
This and then that word becomes bad.
And then that, because literally people will jokingly say to their children, husbands and wives, what are you, developmentally disabled? And then we won't be able to use that anymore.
Right.
Though one of my favorite things is my friend Joe said that he walked by these two little kids who were playing basketball and they could not have been more than seven or 8 years old. And they're shooting baskets and one of them whiffs and the other kid says, one kid says to the other kid, how long you been on crack? Give me the ball. And so, I mean, there's just,
yeah,
it, if it was moron, if it was retarded, if it's developmentally disabled, if it's whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
It's, he was trying to figure out if he could say the word that we're not supposed to say anymore to do the joke.
I used to say retarded as a punchline for something. And now I say idiot.
Right.
And it works almost as well.
Sometimes I have to say the word fuck. And I think to myself, I don't have to say the word fuck. I could there write a better.
True, but I do think when you're like I will add fuck to clean jokes in a club. Just I don't know sometimes,
just,
not,
sometimes
not all
just,
the time
not all the time
you're
but
just,
sometimes
I'm
just
talking to people that are drinking. You know,
right? You got to wake them up.
Yeah. Yes.
Wake up! I just swore, you guys. Anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I was thinking, like I was working on this bit for a while, and then I tried to start writing it again. That uses the word pussy, which I don't like using
the word
when
pussy.
I'm describing my own vagina.
Right.
And I know there's like, I feel like that's a line of, that's like an age thing. Cause
yeah.
That
cause
like
are,
the female comics are like 35 and under, I just use it all the time and yeah. It's no big deal. But I don't know. Maybe that's just the way I was raised or
the tantric sex joke. Marie was like, because the last line is something like of my tantric sex joke is, he was drowning in the sweet cauldron of my love.
Yes,
which
yes.
is a romance novel allusion to a romance novel, sometimes too subtle.
Yes,
and Marie was like, just change it to pussy, and it'll work better. And I've tried it, and I have a hard time saying it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, and sometimes it feels gratuitous.
It also feels like, and this is sort of bumping into what I was going to try to talk about, but it feels like a man's description of a woman's vagina. And now, so it's almost like, it's like taking, you know, adopting your slave name as your real name. Like, that's your idea to call it a pussy. That was never my idea, you know?
Right.
But now women are so comfortable doing it. And I mean, a lot of the hours I've watched on Netflix,
yeah,
not all of them, but there's a lot of like really filthy, funny, but really filthy. Like it seems like
we're going to talk about our parts like guys have done for the last 70 years.
No, but it's not a feminist thing. It's almost, I mean, who knows what it is, but
it's not feminist. It's just now available.
It's like, oh, they like that in a female comic. Like give us 10 minutes of pussy talk and then you can do the other 50. You do what you want.
How
do you
weird.
Feel like that? Or maybe I'm just,
well, you have to remember, I haven't seen any of them. Not a one. I haven't even logged into my Netflix in probably 3 months.
Really?
Yeah. I've just, I still get discs. I think I just got Secondhand Lions in the mail. Remember Secondhand Lions? Anyway.
No, Lion the movie?
It's called Secondhand Lions.
No,
it's
that?
It's supposed to be a movie about lions, I assume. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
There's a movie called Lion that was nominated for an Oscar last year.
Oh, I wouldn't see something that had been nominated for an Oscar. I don't have time.
It's on JetBlue, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
maybe
cool.
Not anymore, but it was.
It's, yeah, no, I think, Netflix might be picking stuff because they like, I mean, whoever's picking comedy might be, might just like a little bit of dirty comedy, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, Brian Regan got 4 1-hours.
Yeah, but what is Brian Regan that we aren't?
Brian Regan is, he might be a national treasure of a white dude comic.
He's a male.
Right. But he's...
But I'm saying, do you have to have a filthy chunk? Does a female comic have to have a filthy chunk to get like a Netflix half hour where they're graphically talking about
I don't know.
Parts?
Like, did you watch those 15s? Did you watch the
15s? I didn't
watch
the 15s.
Yet?
No.
Because I would be interested to... Maybe I'll go home and do that tonight because I don't have a set. I won't. I will not. I just bought a movie.
Yeah.
And you know what I bought? I bought the animated cartoon Peter Rabbit. That's what I'll be if I'm watching anything. I mean, either that or I'm going to finish Star Wars Rebels. You don't know what I'm going to watch, but it's probably not going to be the Netflix 15s, even though I love Kate Willett.
Yeah.
And
and Aparna and
Aparna
and people did them.
Yeah. Bunch of. I did a set last week and Aparna was there and she was hilarious. And then she had to post a thing that said, please do not Snapchat or Insta story any of my set.
Oh no.
She was like, I'm working on new stuff. It's like, I'm glad you like me, but please don't Insta story any of my new stuff because I'm working on new stuff.
What did she notice people holding a camera up?
Yeah.
During the show?
Either, I don't know, but that was on her Instagram.
Or
was,
were they tagging her? Because Insta stories, they disappear after.
Oh, it's just a day?
Is it just a day?
Is it like Snapchat?
I don't know. I thought they went away. Insta stories? I thought they did.
It sounds like it. They're called Insta.
Mm-hmm.
But she was really. A lot of new stuff.
Yeah,
I've been pretty lucky the last couple of weeks getting to see a lot of comics that I like.
Yeah, yeah.
Just doing sets. Deborah DiGiovanni last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That I got to see Steve Young.
Yeah.
At Big Money. He was really funny. And Augie was great. And
I went to brunch last week.
Oh, that's right. You went to comedy lunch.
Yeah, I had a day off.
A day off. And comedy lunch was fun, right?
Yeah, that was
And it was
fun.
Lightly attended, which is
kind of... Yes, it was, yeah.
Which is kind of great because you get to actually talk to everybody then.
Mm-hmm. Do my feet smell? Is that okay that they're at there?
That's fine.
Okay.
I cannot smell your feet.
I stuck them in the pool.
It's to try to get them to not smell?
Yeah.
Interesting. I thought your feet were hot. So I was going to tell you that I took this acting class one time. It was a 12-week boot camp is what they called it because everything was called boot camp like 5 years ago.
Right, right.
And so it was a 12-week, but it was 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. 5 days a week for 12 weeks.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
It was awesome.
Oh, it was
awesome? Great.
Oh, I said awful.
Because every other acting class I had ever taken was once a week for 3 hours.
Right.
And it's hard to really get to know the other people you're acting with. But if you spend a month and a half, because I took two sessions, so they changed up in the middle of it. And but the weirdest class that I took that was kind of like that weird improv class.
Yeah.
I had an acting teacher. He said, okay, today... We're going to spend 45 minutes. We're just going to go on stage and you're going to pretend to be 5 years old. And so we crawled around the stage and talked like babies for 45 minutes. And afterwards, it's the only time he ever complimented me. And the guy goes, he said, that's the best work I've ever seen you do. And I just wanted to say, no one is going to cast me as a 5-year-old. That's not going to happen. And I don't understand. I mean, he was like, you just found something inside of you that came out. And I'm like, I don't
know when people start talking like that. I just think they're so full of shit.
It feels full of shit, but I know that because they want acting that, you know, when you like, I have an acting coach. If I ever go in for an audition, I could pay this woman. She's great. Ron Funches uses her. Mm-hmm. And she is a character actor herself. And she will coach you for money and help you break it down and make decisions. Because that's the biggest thing when you get the sides, when you get the tiny bit of what you're doing, is you have to make these real decisions of how you're going to play this character. And you have to make more than one so that if they don't like that first decision, you could say, well, I can also do it as Elvis or whatever fucking thing. So So I mean, I kind of like her. I liked the 12-week thing because the other thing that you did, I got stand up out of this thing because the one of the classes was this business class, which is everybody else wrote what they would cast you as. And it was essentially a typecasting class.
Oh, that's like a burn, like reading a burn book at a slumber party.
What's that?
Oh, you know, it's that when people would write, they would write something about you in a slumber party.
Okay.
And you would have to read it. Like, but it, people wrote it anonymously. Your friends wrote it anonymously.
Oh,
it was
right.
All, it was always something awful.
It was always like, why are your eyebrows uneven or some fucking
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah,
because
yeah,
you're 12.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like, I never had those experiences.
That reminds me because I was in this meeting with, I think it was CAA, and I had no idea who they were. I was very.
It's a classic stand up. We walk into God. Like
I
Los
know.
Angeles.
I was
and like,
I was working at Tough Crowd. It was my first writing job, yeah. Right? And I was wearing like shorts and a fucking t-shirt, and I walk in, and it's like a table full of people dressed up, and I was like, oh shit! And then then they said. We see you as a mom, and I was like, what the fuck? Because I didn't have a kid, and I wasn't
you weren't
gonna,
a mom.
And I'm like,
yeah.
And I thought moms were like 75 years old. I was like, what? I was so appalled.
Wow.
But then I started
even the
noticing
on that doesn't
oh, yeah,
work.
Moms can be in their 30s,
right? It turns out, Janelle yeah. James today on Facebook posted this thing about how she'd been going out for a lot of. Different, a nice variety of auditions, but she wants to, she was like,
is she in Los Angeles or
I don't
in
know,
New York?
But she had a short list of things that she would like to be
yeah.
cast as. And first one was murderer. Second one was sexy murderer.
Yeah.
Third one was layabout stoner. And there were a couple more. And I was like, oh, I want to make a list like that of things that
yeah.
I would love to. Because nobody is casting this as the head of the Nazi resistance, you know, in like an Inglorious Bastards, you know, Viking show. But
it's like Sandra Oh didn't assume she was the lead in when she got the script for Killing Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's never the lead.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Sandra Oh from radio?
From radio?
Yeah. Isn't Sandra Oh on... like
she's on Killing
PCRW?
Eve now.
Oh, okay.
No. No, that's somebody's name sounds like that.
It sounds a lot like that.
Yes.
Where are we at, Kyle?
We are at 17.
Oh, my God.
I was going to guess 11.
This.
Because
I don't have this. She was in Sideways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's that wine drinking
yes.
asshole movie. I hate that movie. Was not made for me, you guys. That movie was not. My brother Phil loves that movie. Hey Phil, how's it going out there? He listens to the show. He loved that show, but I was like, that was a guy who was, I think, there was a divorced guy, and then there was
Thomas Hayden Church, who's now in this. Do you watch HBO's Divorce?
No.
It's first. Oh, the woman who runs it. God dang it, I forget her name. She's does Catastrophe with Rob Delaney.
Oh yeah,
Sharon Horgan.
Okay,
she's also doing another show. She's like, there. Are,
wow,
I'm like, there's a lot of Tina Fey's out there.
Yeah,
the Killing Eve woman is Phyllis Wallace or Phoebe Wallace Bridge, I think. She also did something called Fleabag, which I never watched, but her was great.
How about the woman who fired Roseanne? On ABC.
No, but these are creative people.
Yeah, yeah.
These are comedians. They're British.
British comics?
Yes.
Who are showrunners?
Yes. They have
Britain
six...
gets to have women who are just normal, who are just comics.
More so than we do, for
yeah,
sure. And
for
they,
sure.
their series are shorter, you know? I mean, they're like, you know, although Killing Eve might be longer, but...
Is that a British one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the BBC.
Okay.
But it doesn't sound like a comedy because
right.
it's a detective hunting a female serial killer, a female detective hunting a female serial killer.
Oh, wait
killer.
A minute. That actually, I knew I'd heard of it somewhere.
Yeah.
I think Janelle James told me about it.
Yeah.
Okay. On a Dork Forest.
But
is what
a comedy person yeah. wrote it. I don't know if she's a stand-up or like just a comedic personality.
But you know, we're just tragic clowns, Lori. And there's so much... There's so much pain inside
but
of us.
But they're getting shit done, man.
They are totally getting shit done. There's women in their 40s who are in TV shows in Britain solving murders. And they get to do it. They get
and what
to
are
do
we
it.
Doing?
We're
looking
not.
For ducks and pools.
Right. That was last episode. There was a duck. You guys, yep. Who doesn't love a duck? Yeah. You got any new jokes?
I don't. Nothing that feels promising.
I'm talking about the...
I was just tweaking last week in Boston. That's mostly it.
Yeah.
Like, I took my consent joke and I split it into two jokes, and it seems to be working better to me. But it's still not... Now it's like, oh, now I got to repair that one.
Since you changed it, now you have to sort of rebuild the foundation around it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm desperately trying to get this flirting bit, which can't even be called flirting.
Yeah.
It's so long. And then Maria was like, well, are you doing the Delta Sky Club story as a bit? And I was like, I'm not. And I need material. And I mean, as of now, it's just a fun story.
Yeah,
so
right.
I could work it and punch it up somehow.
I wonder, like, I wrote a ton of jokes in Shitty Mom, parenting jokes, that I was like, oh, that's a book, so I can't do it.
That's a gold mine.
I know, I should look through it and see if I could repurpose anything, you know?
Yeah. So I got the contract to write two chapters and an outline for a romance novel.
Yay!
Where I will get some money in 30 days.
Yeah.
And then some more money 30 days later. And then we will renegotiate if they want me to write the whole thing. And it is...
Is the idea to serialize it? So you do one a week or something? Or
I don't think so. I think it's just a whole book, but not a long book.
Well, the New York Times did an article on Audible's originals. Like, mm-hmm. Some writers are only writing books for Audible right now.
It's for Audible, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think I've announced that.
But you're part of a new trend.
I'm part of... Well, haven't I always been? No, I have not. but yeah, it was fascinating. I bought... I read this book. It was called Dangerous Books for Girls.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called. And then I just bought this. They're nonfiction books about romance novels. This mm-hmm. is called... And these... The Smart Bitches Guide to Romance Novels. The Smart Bitches Trashy Novels is the website.
Yeah.
And their website is actually really funny. I don't know if either of these women do stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
But they should. But... They cool. essentially, they're across the country from each other. One of them lives in Jersey. The other one lives in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Portland. And they do this website, Smart Bitches Trashy Novels. And that book, Beyond Heaving Bosoms.
Yeah.
I've read the first, I don't know, 20 pages, and I've laughed out loud.
Oh, my God. I want to read it when you're done.
Okay, yeah. It's really funny.
Cool.
And it's, and they sort of break down, you know, and it's... It's almost exactly what Audible wants, which is a loving send-up. You know, they're like, these are dumb things.
Yeah.
These are tropes, and they are in romance novels. But as they say in the beginning, they're like, they're also in the Odyssey.
Yeah, so, yeah, right.
It's not like
they
haven't been in everything forever. And then they break down, like, how the romance novel has changed over the last... You know, they start in 72 with, like, Soothing the Savage Beast or whatever the fuck the name of that first.
Mm-hmm.
But I, there were these books that were written earlier than that. They were Christian romance novels mm-hmm. that I read, written by Barbara Cartland. They're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, all they are.
God, I remember reading articles about her in People magazine. She's always wearing like
too many clothes.
Dowager's Empress clothing. Yeah.
Yeah, like way too many clothes.
Yeah, yeah, like you're right, like, before the Tsar got shot, that's what his wife wore. Yeah.
Right, you're like, do you think you live in the late 1700s? Because you're bumming me out. And she was bumming me out for every book, but I was like, I didn't know anything about anything, so I was like, well, maybe there'll be something. And there never was. It was always like, she was kind of religious, and and it was always, they were always very stern.
Yeah.
And then I discovered Georgette Heyer, who was much lighter, but also didn't have any sex. And then I found sort of the rapey ones, the rapey Harlequins, with mm-hmm. all these very stern, modern gentlemen who are... they're raping you for their own good. It's right. It's going to be fine. You wanted it. Didn't you? No. No. Well, how about now?
I don't know. I'm and lost then, right now. So well, did you like that?
I don't know. Like, it was literally romance novels have gotten so much better in the last, I would say, 8 years.
Hasn't everything?
Kind of.
Except the White House.
Right. Ever since Obama, romance novels have gotten so much better, you guys.
No, well, it's weird, but ever since there's been a deliberate attempt to understand a real female point of view or just to put other points of view out there, everything artistically has gotten a little bit better. You know,
I think you're right.
I mean, comedy is way better than it used to be.
Comedy, it's smarter.
Yes.
It's not less funny.
Yeah.
It's as funny or funnier, I think. But it can be gentle.
Yes.
It can be foul.
Yeah.
It can be mean. It can be all the things that it's always been. But it's usually not horrifying. Right?
Yes. But isn't it weird how, like, all the stuff happening artistically is amazing, right? All these female comics, there's just so many points of view and so many smart people doing them, doing whatever they're doing, movies or stand-up or TV or whatever you are. And then you look at Congress and it's like it's 100 Charles Grassleys. And like, how are we so far ahead of the curve or we're leading it? And they're so fucking far behind.
Because they're entrenched, you know? I mean, right. they're entrenched, and, like, I was doing some research because the primary is Tuesday, and mm-hmm. I'm leaving. So the primary will have already been. Mm-hmm. But, so I voted by mail, mm-hmm. and I had to do research. And,
I always vote by mail.
Oh, have you always?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just started this year. You do as well? All right.
I can't believe every state doesn't have that option. And the when some of them make it really difficult too, it's unbelievable.
Right. And there's very little mystery why they're doing that. And, but it took me an hour and a half of research on the internet to figure out who to vote for, because California has this new law where it's the top two of each of the races.
Yeah. Now,
it's no longer one Democrat, one. The primary is open. There's two pages of gubernatorial candidates, and the top two will go against each other in November. And in theory, that sounds great. And it is, I like it, though, of course, because there's 16 Democratic nominees and four Republicans, they might split the vote that it might be bad. But it's a step in the right direction, I think, just because it's such a mess.
Yeah.
There's...
I don't know. I will see how it turns out.
Yeah. But my in-laws, it took them... they said it took 4 hours because they're not very good at Googling. And you know, you're given this book that tells you everybody's, like, in their own words... This is how I'm going to change the world.
Yeah.
And then you look and see, well, what did the League of Women Voters say?
And I didn't do that much research.
No?
I mean...
You do a daily research, quite honestly?
maybe a little bit, but I...
You're much more hands-on with the LA Times and the news in general.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the LA Times, but here's what I always go. Woman, the first D, okay, Democrat.
And do you vote with your vagina first?
Yes. Then okay. I go woman.
Yep.
And then if it's multiple women, then I start looking at professions. I'm a total identity politics voter. If I don't know the issues. Yeah.
The state bar rated all the judicial candidates.
Yeah.
And so I could read about whether they were qualified or unqualified. Yeah. And so that's how I voted for. But if I can't find any information between the two candidates, I will not just vote, because I cannot be burned. There cannot be a Phyllis Schlafly in my life that I ever supported.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Well, I mean, that person wouldn't be a Democrat, though.
True. I mean, they usually get weeded off at that level, I suppose. Yeah. So, but.
Oh, my God. How much time have we done? Wow.
Oh, my God. We're at a half hour.
Okay.
Interesting. Interesting. We could do the comic of the week. She has not texted me how to freaking pronounce her
Crystal
last name.
Rich. It's got to be Rich.
Is it?
But I know someone who has that same last name or pronounces it Reish. So right. I have a hard time remembering exactly if I'm right with her.
Right. And
she's
Crystal Sherry or Cherry.
Yes.
I mean, that's why that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of letters, you guys. And what you should just do is you should watch her do stand-up comedy because it's great.
Yeah. She's really funny. She's
C-R-Y-S-T-A-L and then C-H-A-R-E-E. Is her Twitter handle.
Her story of how she started was Flappers is open during the day for lunch.
Yeah.
Or it was at least. And she would just come in and hang out at Flappers and she started watching comedy shows. But yeah. She was really shy. And then she is really shy. After a while she's like, I bet I could do that.
Right.
Which is such a female way to start stand up. you watch a bunch of turds and you're like,
that's exactly what
I'm better than that.
And I saw Sam Kinison and I was like, well, this can't be that hard. He was coked up and drunk at the same time. And I was like, that can't be that hard.
That
so 3 weeks
though,
later.
That voice. Ow, ow, ow. You can't beat that.
Well, you. That Ethiopian joke is outstanding.
The what?
The joke about Ethiopia. He's like,
you know what though? That's all. Bobcat almost had almost the same joke at the same exact time.
Really?
And accused Kinison of stealing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a drag.
I don't know.
Right. Well,
it's also something that was so in the news at the time. I could see it, both of them writing it, you know?
I could see them, both of them writing it too.
Yeah.
And it was, but it was a lot different than all of his other stuff.
Kinison?
Yeah. Like Kinison's long set?
Yeah, but why would he steal? I mean,
why would anyone steal a fucking joke? It doesn't make any sense.
But I mean, if you're if you are a thief, you're gonna steal.
Yeah.
Right. And or if you rewrite premises or rewrite people's stuff, okay, people you kind of tell when things are derivative.
What do you think about that? That's a fine line.
It's awful.
That's terrible. You're like, what a great premise. I'm going to write a comparable joke, but change it slightly.
Or they just sort of change everything a little bit, and then it seems like it's like a hacky bit. It's like, no, someone did that first, and then it was rewritten by 16 other comics who thought it was a good idea and kind of changed it.
When I think of the definitive...
But wait, Crystal's
okay,
really funny.
Yeah. So, oh, right. Crystal Sherry. Sherry Reich.
R-E-I-C-H.
Yeah, Reich. Or it's Crystal. She's slightly shy, but when she gets on stage, she's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
so yeah. Be nice to her off stage and laugh like a fiend when you see her on stage. She is our comic of the week.
Yes. What were we saying? Kinison.
Okay. When I think of sort of definitive jokes, though, I mean, that's one of them I think of is his Ethiopian joke about how it's a desert. It's always going to be a desert. What's it going to be in 100 years? It's going to be a desert. I'll tell you what. We'll send you some trucks and some luggage. Get your shit. We have deserts in America. We don't fucking live in them. Remember that joke? That was the joke.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but we do live in our deserts.
We do.
Actually put a mafia gambling casino center in one of our greatest deserts.
Right. I read that book, Havana Nocturne. So
Phoenix. We live in Phoenix. We live all
Phoenix,
over our
those
deserts.
Those are deserts.
It's...
But maybe not in the 70s.
You know, it's weird, though, if you look at that joke. Like, that joke kind of wouldn't fly now, right? Because people kind of understand, oh, you just can't pack up if you're a refugee and leave without drowning in the Mediterranean
right.
half the time.
Right.
You know, it's weird how you could be sort of, your joke could have the solution would be terrible, but... You would tell the solution like it was actually a good idea, and people would be like, yeah, man, yeah.
Oh, right.
And now, if you're going to do a terrible solution, it has to be so bonkers that everyone just realizes it's silly.
Right.
As opposed to, like, a half good idea.
Right. You have to exaggerate and make it... The twist has to be something fictional.
Yes,
which is
super
bad.
Fictional.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that Ethiopians who were starving would... somehow find the money to get a plane ticket and then be allowed
right.
entry to the U.S.
Right.
And you know, everything that happens, it is ridiculous.
Right.
Well, but I think people just didn't think about that. No one thought about it. Like now everyone thinks about consequences a little bit more because we just keep hearing about consequences.
Yeah.
We just keep hearing everyone's stories. So now when someone says something offhand like that, you know, there's a whole side of your brain that just read a HuffPo article where you're like, yeah, but, and then you could
list you can't
15
that,
paragraphs
yes.
of why that won't work. And so it kind of takes away your
could
enjoyment
you,
of easy jokes.
Could you ruin this joke for me?
Yes.
This other definitive joke that I love so much, if you could just fucking shit on it, would be
Jay
Leno's.
No, it's just a difference in time.
It's a
difference in how people are enjoying comedy and how they process the news. It's how
right.
it affects how they enjoy comedy.
Which it's having access to information 24 hours a day.
Horrible
right,
idea.
But creates this awareness. I think that's what's created this new sort of
yep.
awareness and
yes.
help for perspective, you know, for marginalized and women and whatever.
We'll never know if it was ultimately a bad idea. I mean, I think it's tearing away at democracy because these right-wing
right, we didn't
lunatics.
Invent the internet so that the right-wing assholes could
yeah,
find
could
each other.
Yeah, could pair and find each other
yes.
and start groups. And,
right.
right.
That's not why.
It's quite terrifying.
It is. It's bad. But I loved, going to go back to comedy,
mm-hmm.
Jay Leno had the definitive colorization joke when Ted Turner and Turner Broadcasting invented colorization.
Yeah.
Of old movies,
mm-hmm.
It did not have a punchline. That's what it did exactly what you said. It just had this weird solution that ended up being the punchline. He was subbing for Carson.
Yeah.
And he said that the first 10 minutes of Wizard of Oz had been colorized. And that was the whole joke. And I was like, well, no one else needs to write that joke then. Because
mm-hmm.
that joke's done. But I'd heard, because it was 1983 or 84.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I had heard so many colorization jokes.
Right, right, right.
Right. It was such a big premise that
yeah.
year.
That's
right. Crazy.
All those premises.
It was a hell of a year, Kyle. 84.
It was a great year for premises.
There was a, what else came out in 84?
Remember Donna Rice jokes and Gary Hart when we first started?
Yeah.
I have such a distinct memory of this. It was called the Rose and Thistle in San Francisco, and it's now like
I remember Gary Hart, I don't remember Donna.
What?
I don't know the other person.
Okay, it's now like an auto parts store.
No, I don't know that. And Gary Hart is a
politician. Gary Hart ran for president.
Yes.
And he was like the next JFK, right?
Right. He had a great idea that has been almost co-opted a couple of times, just to restart the WPA. And he had a great idea for that. It would, before you go into college, you spend 2 years working in an anywhere. You could work in a city helping renovate and fix things up. Or you could join the army, or you could do something. I mean, it's almost an Israeli model.
Oh,
but
that's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so Gary Hart.
So,
Rose and Thistle.
And he's married. And there were just so many jokes about, because he had he was on a boat called the Monkey Business. And he hooked up with this lady named Donna Rice, who he was having an affair with.
Weird.
He was married.
Okay.
And he got caught, and it ended his career immediately.
Oh, weird.
And then, like, maybe the next... Was it the next presidential election or the next one? Maybe the two more. Then Clinton comes up, and Clinton has had affairs, but for some reason, everyone's, you know, they've been worn down.
They've been
a little
desensitized.
Bit, yes, by Gary Hart. So now they accept Clinton, and now look where we are.
Right, right.
I mean, Melania might be dead.
I hope she's run. I really genuinely believe she's bolted.
He was accused of being violent towards Ivana and raping her. So
right,
and he's under more pressure than ever
he's
right
ever
now.
Been.
And who knows? I mean, this will be out, and you know,
she might be back. How great would that be?
Yeah, maybe she's go to Ethiopia. They have a desert there.
Maybe she's hiding in the desert of Ethiopia, having that food where it's all served on the bread.
So this weekend,
I literally have nothing to talk about, Kyle.
For this weekend,
yes,
I'm at Acme.
Oh, you do an Acme this weekend?
This is dropping 7/2, right?
First week of July.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem right because we're just starting June.
Oh, wait, you're right. Sorry, never mind.
So, yeah, so comes out. Yeah, are you doing anything?
Oh,
I come home. that week. It's going to be Flag Day. That's what I've been told. Clearly also no set.
Here's the thing. Like, Flag Day shows up on my calendar as a little spot. So I think, oh, I've got a set.
Yeah.
And then I'm like looking and I'm like, no, it's fucking Flag Day. I don't have a set.
It's also Corporate Tax Day. Corporate Tax Day is June 15th.
So you must think you have two sets that night.
I have a bunch of sets, you guys.
God damn it.
Yeah, I don't have anything. Oh, I'm doing... Oh, I do have a show June 16th at a board game store on Burbank and Hazeltine called Paper Heroes in Burbank. And the name of that show? Summer Ham.
I'm doing...
They've named it Summer.
I'm doing the Mermaid Hour on Monday, July 11th.
I love the Mermaid Hour.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, that's good times.
Juneteenth is showing up as a spot. Oh my God.
I'm doing If You Build It, which is the Kara.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, Kara Klink.
At UCB?
UCB Sunset.
Yeah.
Weren't we going to talk about a good show that we like?
Yes, we did Little Joy.
We both did Little Joy for Sam Varela.
Oh, we should have mentioned it on the last podcast because we just did it.
Yeah, we just did it, but we're going to mention it this time.
We'll mention it this
time. It's ongoing.
Yes, and it was fun.
It is really good.
I had no spots. I was in much like the situation I'm in this week, which will be last week.
Right. You and heard that I was doing a spot there and you're like, oh, I'm going to email. You did. You did it on this show.
I did not. Listen, I posted
on... You can revisionist history this all you want.
I posted on the internet.
Does anyone have spots?
Yes. I said, is there anything happening tonight? And then... Little Joy was mentioned. I was contacted by Sam about Little Joy, and I did Barney's Beanery, and
it was a big Dodgers game night. I had a bad incident.
What happened?
I had to get walked to my car.
Oh no!
Yeah, because so I'm sitting next to Bucky Sinister.
Yes.
A very funny comic from San Francisco.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
him in a long time. Does he live down here?
Yeah, yeah, he's living down here.
Oh.
And he helps run Little Joy, to my knowledge. So we're sitting there. And in walks a Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
Giant, blonde, long-haired, blonde dude. Mm-hmm. Half in the bag, fully in the bag.
Yeah.
Trash. Looking for an outlet so you could plug in, it turns out, his Android. He let us in on it. And he starts talking to Bucky, and Bucky had made an announcement out in the bar.
Yeah.
Hey, comedy's going to start in 10 minutes. And this guy comes in, and he says to Bucky, That announcement was great. This is how he talked. Three times. He said everything three times. That announcement was great. That's why I came in. Mm-hmm. Fist bump me, man. Fist bump me. And so Bucky does not. And then I tap him on the shoulder. I said, the man would like you to fist bump him, Bucky. And so he does. So the show starts.
So you helped this guy. You validated his rudeness.
Yeah. It's already my fault. I'm not saying it isn't because
it's a good idea.
Was trying to be nice and it backfired again for the first time. I don't know. It was not cool because we're sitting there and he's talking to everybody and he wants his plug, his outlet isn't working for some reason. Anyway, the show starts. The MC goes up. She's great.
Oh, Megan Kester.
Megan Kester. Yeah. And she's
hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And he's riffing, like whisper riffing to us on all of her premises.
Yeah.
It's very irritating.
Yes.
And because that room is the size of a postage stamp.
It's small. And but they fit a lot of people in it. There's always standing room only.
It was always packed.
Yes.
Little Joy. And then somebody else goes up. He's still talking. I go up. I do my set. Perfectly good set. I'm pleased with the jokes that I ran.
Mm-hmm.
I get off stage. He stands right in front of me, you know, and I'm against that back wall.
Yeah.
And he starts going, you were great. You were great. You were great. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? So I tell him. And he's like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And I was like, I tell him. He's like, What is it? And I said, it's Cation, like vacation. He goes, is it spelled like that? And I said, yeah, yeah. Have a seat. I'm trying to watch a show. Because I just want him to get away, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, fist bump me. And I do. And then he goes, chest bump me. And he leans into me. And I put my hands up. And he goes,
did you touch his chest?
No, I put my hands up in front of my chest.
Okay.
And I was like... you got to knock it off, man, is what I said. I didn't want to use any bad language, clearly, because I said, you're going to have to knock it off, man.
Isn't it weird how you're not the person you are on stage, off stage?
Isn't that
weird? I have a story just after this.
And okay, so he starts going, whoa, well, why are your hands up? I'm not doing anything. I said, just knock it off. And then so I grab my bag, and Bucky leans in and says, seriously, knock it off. And then he goes away. And then I have to leave, sadly, mm-hmm. after my set, because I'm a monster. And so I leave, and he's standing there, and he starts walking towards me. So I walk right up to Alex Edelman. I'm like, you're walking me to my car. And he goes, okay. I said, I will give you a ride back down here. And so he walked me back, and it was fine.
You escaped.
But, yeah, I escaped.
I was in an elevator at the Westin in Boston. Yeah. And trapped in the elevator, and I had my kid, you know, on every step. And so this guy's, are you here for a conference? And I said, no, no. And I go, are you? No. So he's here for some bike thing.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm a comedian. I'm at Laugh Boston. It's a comedy club here. And so there was some kind of pause, and he goes, are you late bloomer?
Oh my God!
Like I was old, and I should have been famous by now. But obviously I'm not. So I must have just started doing stand up or something.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, no. I go, what?
I don't
and
even
then
know how to.
The doors open, and my kid is limping, and I didn't care. But I was. Then that bothered me for the rest of the weekend.
Right. Right. Because that will haunt you. You're like, what did he mean? Did he mean because you were doing a? Well, by the way. Our favorite kind of club, where the club and the hotel are in the same room, same complex.
Yes, yeah.
You can go to your room in between shows.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a delight.
Right.
That's
but when you're trapped
that, right?
in the elevator with audience members.
Exactly. Well, that's
but that wasn't the case. He wasn't.
He was just an idiot.
Yeah.
And wow.
But isn't? But I haven't had that feeling, that experience in a while, where you can tell they immediately think you're just making up your life. Like that, right. Oh, you're not a comic. You said you're a comic, but there's no way you are. Because I only think Chris Rock is a comic or whoever, you know what
right.
I mean?
They have one name.
Where
in
you're automatically
maybe it's Amy
dismissed.
Amy Schumer or Michelle Wolf.
Right, right, right.
Maybe there was a hole. Maybe there was a
Like that used to happen to me all the time when I first started, mm-hmm. maybe because I was young too. But I guess now I feel like I people can tell I'm a comic, maybe the way I walk into a club. I don't walk in like all doe-eyed. I'm like, oh, you fuckers, I gotta entertain you guys. But I mean, it was just weird to be dismissed, and I hadn't been dismissed summarily like that.
Right. It'd been a while since you'd been dismissed summarily. Well,
yes,
welcome back. It's a little while since some guy wanted to lean into my tits, and I was not.
Welcome back, Jackie.
Thanks so much. Oh, I got a text from Brian Regan.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry about it, he said, for not coming to my birthday party last night at 11 p.m. on Sunset Boulevard.
Last show, you got a text from Ann Arbor at Got Work, and this text, you were forgiven by one of the greatest comics who's ever lived.
Exactly. Things are going well, you guys. Why
Shit's
am I not
for you
happy?
During this
Why
podcast?
Am I not happy? When will I be satisfied? When will it all come together? I did meet, it was nice. It's always not like last time we talked about Clusterfest.
Yeah.
And it felt too big because it did. You know, the best thing about comedy festivals is when they're small.
Yeah.
And you get to hang out with comics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was some of that. There was just, but I mean, literally it was just nice to see Mike Lawrence. And Mike Lawrence is an amazing writer.
Yeah, he's super funny.
He's just,
right.
The guy's a monster of just prolific.
Yeah.
He did do a joke that sent me into a tiny rage spiral. Doesn't make me love him less, but it was something about how he wasn't excited to vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, I think the analogy was like when Steve Harvey has two white families on.
Yeah.
And that's funny, right? That's very funny. That Mike Lawrence, I'm sure he's written four new jokes since he told that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't feel bad telling you that joke. But yeah. But I was so angry. I wanted to go back because I was emceeing. And you know, when you emcee, you get rebuttal time.
Yes.
I almost went out and said, you know, I was excited to have a woman to finally vote for that was overqualified. But I didn't say it because I was like, I was on duty. I was doing,
if
I was on MC.
He closed on it, maybe?
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
he close on it?
No, it was in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the beginning of the middle.
Then that shows that you're just petty.
Yes.
You've been pacing back right. there. When's he going to finish? I've got shit to say.
Look, he had to wait 2 weeks to find out I was petty. Good for you, Mike Lawrence.
Oh, I think he knows. We all know.
We all
I
know.
Want him to. I want to get him on the Dork Forest to talk about, because the guy's also encyclopedic. You know, like, yeah, he's got. He was wearing a weird. He was wearing a Sandman T-shirt, but not. And this is not going to make any sense to except like three people, Kyle being one of them. Thank God. It was the Marvel Sandman, not the Neil Gaiman Sandman. So the Marvel Sandman is just a guy who turns into sand, and then okay. And the Neil Gaiman Sandman is Dream. Anyway, it's a great story.
It's true. I'm so tired.
Technically,
I want to go home.
Technically, you
Wait,
are
I am home.
Home. You are home.
It's but I want to go away from you.
You guys missed Kyle pushing his glasses up going, actually, there are two Sandmen in the DC universe. What? Where are we at, by the way? 5?
All right. Oh. We got 10 more minutes,
We have 10 more minutes in us, don't you think?
Yes.
Will you write this book for me? And then... just give it to me and then I'll punch it up and try to make it my own. Because you don't have a horse in this race. You could just be super mean, make fun of romance novels.
Sure.
And then I could tone it down and then put a heart into it. And it would
Why
be
don't
a,
we write an advice book for white women before the 2020 election?
Before the that book would be
It Did would be divisive, and it would anger people, and it would some people would like it, and some people would hate it.
And it would sell like hotcakes, and the first chapter could be called, Did You Know That You Were White? Which is a new bit
It wouldn't be a scholastic,
on.
You know, sort of... a university-informed takedown
of the patriarchy
or white history. It'd be like, hey, asshole, you have this... And you didn't deserve it. Okay? You were given shit for free.
Right.
And so stop acting like you earned it.
Oh, to
But it would be
women?
Better than that. Sorry.
Well,
that
no, I don't mind that.
Quite
it's essentially, we
but
were
But tonally,
born...
it would be like that.
It would be like that.
And it would be something, we would feckless cunt it all the way from head to toe
and
just
it would
to
be...
trigger conservatives left and right.
And it'd be a great thing to read on the toilet.
How to be a middle-aged white woman.
How to be a middle-aged white woman. Yeah. And not a monster. Mm-hmm. How to not monster
because
out?
Because white women really fucked everybody over at this election. Because 53% of white women voted for Trump.
I know.
So
100%
like
of the white women sitting
to,
in this room did not.
But we have to talk to our own.
Yes. Yes.
Because they're problematic.
Yes.
And they won't listen to anybody else. They might not listen to us, but we have a better shot than anybody
right.
else.
At least we can get in their face and not be called Muslim Brotherhood,
right.
Planet
exactly.
of the Apes people.
Exactly.
And then we can just go back and forth with our feckless cunt talk.
Yes.
And maybe they'll hear us. Maybe.
All we need to do is...
I know that one of my cousins unfriended me on Facebook.
Oh, really?
After my feckless cunt post. But
you mean they kept you up till then?
I know. It was weird. It was weird. Because supposedly she voted for Trump and is an evangelical in the worst way.
How are we related to these people?
I don't know. I don't know.
How Mark Penn, who was Hillary's campaign strategist in 2008 and... was just an awful shitty. She has terrible taste in men. I will tell you that.
She
I would
really,
tell her to her
really
face.
Does.
Terrible
Why don't you
taste
write that
in
down
men.
As a title, because that is some terrible. She has some
so she picked this asshole, and he's just a dirtbag piece of shit. And now he's full Trump, calling the Mueller thing a witch hunt, and saying,
"Well, I mean, if you think about it, she was willing to hang out with Trump. Hillary was."
Well, I mean, I think everyone was when he was just a famous guy. That's just celebrities hanging out with each other. They
right,
do it all
you,
the time.
Right, you don't invite him to the house, but I get it. I get
I
it.
I mean, she went to his... I mean, his wedding was a, you know, the third one. It was a, you
I
know, a media
I didn't go to my
event.
Father's third wedding. You don't go to a third wedding. Nobody's third wedding gets people at
you
it.
You go to a famous person's third wedding.
I suppose if you want chicken or beef. Well, I mean, literally,
what?
Was there going to be a seafood tower? What's,
no,
is it
if
stovetop
it's a celebrity,
stuffing?
You go.
I don't go. I don't go to sunset
that's why you're
at 11
not,
p.m.
That's why you aren't it's, a presidential it, candidate.
And it's also why my this is the other thing at Clusterfest in San Francisco. As I left the party,
yeah,
I said to Amy Miller, "Tell everyone I stayed till 4 a.m." and she was like, "I'll pass it on." And so
did Amy leave right after you?
Probably.
Her credibility shot.
She drove. from here.
Oh, yeah.
Same day. I don't know if she was driving home that night.
I used to do those a lot. I can't do them anymore.
The 6-hour drive there and back.
And then a show.
And then shows.
Yeah.
Multiple shows.
Yeah.
That's a young woman's game.
Is that a hunger or is that a saving money so you don't have a chance to deliberate? Like you're like, I can't afford.
We're both too rich at this point to have to do it.
Right.
So.
Yes.
I don't know what I would do. Like if I didn't have the money and that was the gig.
Right.
I might do it.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out in my 60s.
We're going to find out. We know we'll find out. Let's enjoy it while we have it because we're not going to have it much longer.
Exactly. You got to sit on it while you got it. And so I donated. I realized
that was awesome.
Yeah, I realized I hadn't mentioned that I donated it.
That is so cool. So how much total have you donated?
Well, it was I made back. Okay, so the meat shield. My stand-up shirt about being a white lady meat shield.
Yeah.
There's a t-shirt. There's a pin. All of the profits from that will go to different charities. And because white people are continue to be a disaster. Mm-hmm. And so if you buy a meat shield t-shirt, which is for both men and women, by the way, it isn't just for white ladies, even though it has sort of a June Cleaver image on it.
Yeah.
Art by Jenny Fine. Now, after I finally ended up paying it off, like the cost of it, because they're union made t-shirts and it's a 3-color. And so I paid off the cost of it and a prudent reserve so I could reorder.
Wow. You're like the Jerry Brown of comics.
Well, yeah, you got to have a prudent reserve.
There's a huge surplus in California.
Is there? Because of Jerry Brown, but yes, he can't run again.
Yeah.
So I donated $1,000 to Black Lives Matter in Sacramento.
That's amazing.
And it was back in April, right after the horrible things happened in Sacramento.
Right, the guy was shot in his backyard.
And and it was so I donated $1,000 and then $33 and change. That was the processing fee.
You sold a lot of that stuff.
Right at $20 a pop.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and the next $1,000 will go to ACLU Iowa, because the Iowa ACLU is going to sue the government of the state government, because they want to define the woman carrying the fetus doesn't have any rights.
Right.
Only the pile of goo inside of her has rights. And
how the fuck is this happening still?
I don't know. And there's 8 billion people on the planet, so it's not like we're going to run out of people at any time. So how about the person who's alive standing in front of you has more rights than the fetus? How about that?
It's a serious
decision of an abortion.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
How much time, Kyle?
We got about 3 minutes.
Okay. Oh, we're doing 3 minutes. That's not bad at all.
That's not bad.
So I want to write other jokes, though.
So do I.
I only have political stuff coming out of my head.
Right.
But I do, you know, I do the Viking portrait thing and I got the empath. The empath joke is working pretty good,
That's
actually.
That's good.
I keep forgetting to do one punchline, but I've top loaded all the punchlines into the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Because if I can top load all of the punchlines in the beginning of the empath joke, that's the joke.
Yeah.
You could end it then.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep talking.
You don't have to keep talking.
Yeah. Why don't you wrap it up?
All right. We're close enough, right?
Close enough for government work.
Hey. Oh, wait. Wait. Did you stop? Oh, I wanted to ask if people read Dead People Suck and you liked it, could you leave a review on Amazon? I would really appreciate it.
I did.
That helps.
And I didn't even.
I know. Thank you.
No, I read it because
it helps move merch.
It was really funny. It was genuinely. And then I bought 4 copies of it on Amazon. And I sent them to people who had recently bereaved parents, which guess what? Too soon. A couple of them too soon. One of my friends is in San Francisco and her mom died.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she's going to love this. And
her
wife's mom died. And I was like, oh, shit. I wasn't sending it because of your wife. I was sending it because of you from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And
so she
whatever.
She got mad at you?
No. Nobody gets mad at me.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I'm leaving.
Okay. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.